If you would, please bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up this time of praise and worship with a word of prayer. Let us go before our King and our risen Savior. Precious Jesus, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and for the peace that you just bless our hearts with. Oh, Heavenly Savior, we turn to you now and we look forward to the day when we will reign with you, the day when you will return to this earth to set up your earthly kingdom. And precious Jesus, we commit this time into your care. We pray that you would take this time and glorify yourself through it, and may you move our hearts and impact our minds, and may you put our feet into action because of it. And so take this time, glorify yourself in it, by it, and for it. And so, Jesus, we lift this to you, and we pray this in the mighty and the holy and the gracious name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
Mentioned last week, we are having an initiative for prayer for our pastors in the local area. I know there gives me no greater joy or love when I know somebody is praying for me when I'm in a time of need. And our intercessory prayer definitely helps people out. And we need to keep our pastors in mind in the local community. We have a sheet for sign up. This particular one is going to be the concept that iron sharpens iron. So we're going to have our men as a devotional prayer team praying for our pastors. And there's a sign-up sheet back in the back of the sanctuary, also on the entryway over here. So please, if you're in a prayer mode every day, we ask that you include our pastors in your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. You can please make note of announcements in the back of your bulletin, and then also the prayer concerns and requests. They are on the inside. Please lift those up. And as Ray mentioned, please don't just pray for Trinity. Pray for the other churches in this area. Pray for their pastors as well. Prayer is a powerful thing. It's a wonderful thing, and it's a way that we can stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we would just ask that you not only pray for myself and the other individuals in ministry here, but pray for the other churches in this area. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you. This morning's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. And this is found, we will be reading verses 24 through 31. If you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find this on page 1511. Follow along as we listen to a reading from the Gospel of Matthew. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of praise and worship, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
You know, God never ceases to amaze me in how he brings things together. And if you can just bear with me, I just have a quick little story to share with you about some things that happened to me this week as the ushers go forth. God had directed me to the books of Ruth and Esther this week. For those, not everybody knows, but Ruth started out as a pagan, and she came to know God, and she relied on God, and she found favor in God because of her faithfulness. Esther, she was quite the opposite. She started out as a Jewish girl named Hadassah, and she moved to a pagan land. So we have two different women from two different perspectives in their belief and how they came to their belief. But they had the same choices. They had the same fear, and they had the same choice. They could either let their fear define how they chose to live their life and what they did for God, or they could choose to give it to God and let God take care of their fear. After God revealed all that to me this week, I had a situation that came into my life, and it took me a little bit to realize that I had those two same choices. I could either let the fear define my reaction, or I could give my fear to God and take it to my strong tower, my tower of strength, and let God take care of it for me. And so with those two choices, we all have those same two choices together. So please join me this morning as we sing about how the name of the Lord is our strong tower. And if we just run to him, he will take care of all of our situations, all of our problems. So please join me.
Gracious, eternal, loving, heavenly Father, we do thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Asking your blessing upon them, bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning we are continuing our series titled Fearless, and we are going to look at the fear of being insignificant. Earlier this week I found myself outside one night and I was looking up at the stars and looking in the sky, and I was just struck in awe as to the amazing Creator God that we serve, the amazing Creator God that we worship. And when we think about the vastness of God's creation, the entire universe, sometimes I think we struggle with how can this same God be such an intimate God that would care about me? And yet, sometimes we do struggle with that. I want to give us some quick facts about the universe. And just keep in mind that Psalm 19, this is a psalm of David. And David penned these words, and he said, "The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the earth proclaim his handiwork." You know, sometimes I think we, you know, just go through life, and we never pause, and we never stop to really just gaze and be in awe of what God has done. And I really believe that our busyness of life is the enemy of that. I believe that we miss out because, quite frankly, if the stars only came out once every 10 years, nobody would sleep. Everybody would stay up all night, and it would be such a wonderful occasion that we would all be outside looking at the stars. But since they come out every night, most of us just simply go to sleep and we don't think anything of it because it's a common occurrence. And if you think about like the comets, Halley's Comet years ago, it buzzed through, and then all of the eclipses and everything like that. How many people do go out to see those events? Many, many, many people, friends, do. So listen to this. The more that we delve into the universe, the more amazing and awesome the wonder of creation becomes. Our telescopes, they can take us some 4 billion light years, which is about 25 sextillion miles into space, and yet we have not even begun to become close to the edge of the universe. We have discovered certain gravitational principles that keep the stars and planets in their orbits, and yet we are far from fully explaining those principles, much less duplicating them. The Earth spins on its axis at 1,000 miles an hour at the equator. Just think about that for a moment. 1,000 miles an hour. And then think about, why are we not flung off of here, you know, as we spin around so quickly? The Earth travels in a 580 million mile orbit around the sun at about 1,000 miles a minute. And with the rest of the solar system careens through space at an even faster speed in orbit that would take billions of years to complete. The energy of the sun has been estimated to be equivalent to 500 million, million billion horsepower. And no, I did not say million twice by mistake. The energy of the sun has been estimated to be equivalent to 500 million, million billion horsepower. Think about that. There are at least 100,000 million other suns in our galaxy, and most of them are larger than ours. And friends, God is the creator of this majestic, magnificent universe, solar system, and he is also the sustainer of the microcosm. A teaspoon of water, listen to this, contains a million billion trillion, yes, a million billion trillion atoms, which themselves are composed of still smaller particles of energy. And friends, we're told in the scriptures that not even a hair from your head will fall without God knowing it. The average hair on a human's head is 140,000, and so that means some have more and some have less. That's just the way it is, right? That's just the way it is. 140,000 hairs is an average on the human head. And the scriptures tell us that not one will fall to the ground without God knowing that it is falling to the ground. You think of the vastness, the power that God has, and yet sometimes we struggle with this idea of being significant in our world. And we have things in our life that we try to make ourselves significant. We speak of things of creating a legacy that we're going to leave for others. We think of creating things, of amassing this wealth so that we can pass it on to our families and sometimes gift it away to our friends. We think about how we are going to be significant, so much so that when we get married, we call our spouse our significant other. We try to identify ourselves through people and places and things, and we try to make our lives significant in what we deem to be significant. And I'm here to tell you, friends, that God has given you, followers of Christ, believers in Jesus, the Christ followers of this day, of this world, of this time, the most precious thing that will make you the most significant in this world that you will ever be. And this morning I want to tell us and share with us three different things that God says to make us significant. The first, as our passage said, we are told not to fear. And first, the significance is this. In our passage text this morning, if we could go to the first screen. Now, this whole passage is Jesus. He's equipping his disciples to go out and to go and proclaim the truth. This is inclusio visio, and basically what that means is it's a bookend. And he says basically at the beginning and at the end, he says, therefore, do not fear. And at the very end, he says the same thing. Therefore, do not fear. And so three different times throughout this whole passage, he says, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. And right in the center, he says, do fear one person, and that is God. One thing, and that is God. And we will explore that here in a moment. And this is the first thing, is to make us significant, is it's the pronouncement of truth. And Jesus says to his disciples, and there's a portion of this that will not apply to us, but the main thing does apply to you and to me. Do not fear them, meaning don't fear those people that you are going to and sharing the truth with, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. Back in Jesus' day, they had flat roofs. And it was very commonplace that the rabbis, when they would want to bring attention to the various ceremonies and religious, you know, events, they would get up on the top of the roof and they would proclaim. And so what Jesus is saying, don't fear them. Because are you aware, friends, that God has entrusted you and me with the role and the task of pronouncing his truth to this world? Are you aware of that? That for whatever reason, he could use any other vehicle to speak his gospel into this world, and he has chosen the church. He has chosen you and me to be that vehicle of the pronouncement of his truth. When I went away in February, I shared with you about the waiter of the conversation that I had with him. And he uttered these words to me. He said, if I could have just met Jesus, I might believe, is what he said to me. And I sat there and I thought, and I'm thinking, you know what? Right now you are meeting Jesus, and I'm not saying that I'm Jesus. I don't want anybody to go out of here saying that Pastor Max said he is Jesus and he has a God complex now. Please don't say that. It is not that. But you, friends, and me, we are the body of Christ. Does not the Scriptures call us that? We are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of God Almighty. We are the hands and feet, and Jesus is the head, correct? Yes. And so therefore, when we go out, people are meeting Jesus when they meet us. They are meeting the fruits of the Spirit. They are meeting all the gifts, the attributes, and the blessedness that God has poured into you that comes from the heavenlies. And therefore, my friends, they are meeting Christ. Christ in you and Christ in me. And that is the wonderful significance that God has called you and me to pronounce the truth. St. Francis of Assisi said it this way. He said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. And basically what that means, you have Brother Lawrence, he said, you know, the holiness of the ordinary, and he vowed not so much to pick up a piece of straw from the ground without bringing glory to God. And sometimes we think, what can we do? We can't do anything. Yes, you can, friends, you can. You are the carriers of the gospel of Christ, the only thing in this world that will be able to make alive that which was dead, and that which is dead are those outside of Christ. That's significance. That's the most significance that you will ever find in this lifetime. You can create all the legacy you want. You can amass all the wealth that you want, and it will just leave you wanting because there's no eternal purpose there. The significance of what God has called you and me as members of His church, as members of His body, will give you fulfillment. It will give you purpose. It will give you the satisfaction. It will give you the very reason to get up in the morning and to say, hey, I am a carrier of the pronouncement of the truth of the gospel of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And as I go, we talked about Matthew 28:18-20. Go into all the world. A better translation would be, as you go to the store, as you go to the gas station, as you go to the bank, as you go about your daily life, make disciples. Carry that truth. Carry the pronouncement of truth. It's a sad day. It's a very sad day when we divorce, and I don't mean relationally, when we divorce God's purpose for us here with our own lives, and we don't bring them into harmony. It's a sad day because God has you in the places He has you for a distinct purpose, and there's a specific group of people that, friends, only you can reach and I cannot. And there is nobody else that can reach that group of people, only you, because you rub shoulders with them, you rub elbows with them every single day, and that is why God has you in that realm, in that place, and that speaks to the significance of why God has you there. And it's not just to earn a paycheck, it is not just to get by, it's not just to pay your light bill, it is to pronounce the truth. And He says, Jesus says, do not fear them. Don't fear them. Share the gospel. Pronounce the truth. If you want to feel significant, get in line with the will of your Creator. Get in line with what God has called you to do and what He has called me to do. Get in line with that. And you can strive and struggle and just wrestle all day long for the rest of your life and not have a significance. And that is probably one of my biggest pet peeves, is I hear church folk all the time. They say, I don't know why God has me here. Right there, friends. Right there. Right there. As long as you have breath, be a carrier. Be a carrier for your family. Be a carrier for your friends. Be a carrier for your neighbors. Be a carrier for those people who are working. And as you come across doing your daily business and running your errands, be a carrier of the truth of the gospel of Christ. Don't just meander through life, because then you'll struggle. I don't know why God has me here. That drives me insane. It's right there, because the imminence of eternity, we're only a breath away, every single one of us. And maybe, just maybe, maybe that individual that you come across, maybe they need to hear the gospel from you. Maybe they need to rub alongside your elbows, and maybe they need to see the fruits of the Spirit that come out of you and the attributes and the gifts and the talents and the abilities. And maybe, just maybe, friends, that would be enough to draw them into the family of God. But when we divorce ourselves from God's call, we miss it. That's the first thing. So Jesus says, don't fear them. Go, be a carrier of the pronouncement of truth. The second thing that Jesus says, don't fear, is speaking to his protection, the protection of God. And he says, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Do you know your soul is very, you know, the essence of who you are? If you were to strip away your body and your mind, your soul is who you are. It's the essence of who you are. We think that these little choices don't matter, but friends, they matter because the choices that lead us toward Christ, they are shaping our soul. They are moving us to become more Christ-like. And friends, your soul will go with you into eternity. I don't know if you know that. So if we shape our souls to be more like Christ, and if we make these small choices that amount to a large choice, if we make these choices that lead us away and they amount to a large choice, then our souls are forever shaped. And what Jesus is saying, don't fear those ones that can only kill the body. You see, this flesh is going to pass away. This is just a flesh suit that all of us will, you know, be done with at some point. And our soul will move forward. And Jesus says, he says, but rather fear him, meaning God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I'm here to tell you this, is that the significance that God has for you is his protection. He is saying, I am going to protect you. I am going to care for you. I am going to watch out over you. And don't worry about the things of the earth, but be more concerned with your relationship with him. And friends, that is significance. That means that you are of more value than anything in this world. Are you aware that you, as being a human, are the crown of creation? You're the epitome of creation. Of all the things that God created, all the stars that he hung in orbit, all the planets that he set to move around the sun and the moons, and all of that, you, my friends, are the crown of creation. Let that sink in. You are the epitome of everything that God has created. And yet we struggle with being significant. We struggle with being full of meaning and full of purpose in our life. And friends, it's a direct result of a lack of having a relationship, a fulfilling relationship with God the Father. I'm here to believe that. I'm here to tell you that. Because right there. But rather fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now God, we're told in Scripture that he is for you. Nothing can separate you from his love. He has a plan for you, a plan for a hope, a plan to prosper, a plan for a future for you. And he will protect you. He will never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what. And we need to acknowledge this, that sometimes we fear the individuals that can only harm our physical bodies, and we do not fear God enough. But we are so significant to God that he will protect us. He will lead us through those difficult times. And yes, there are various martyrs that have died for the faith. But you're so precious to God that he will protect your soul. And he will see that your soul is with him in all of eternity. You need to know that. That's significance, friends. He fearfully, wonderfully knit you together in your mother's womb. He created you fearfully and wonderfully made, so much that he is going to protect you. He's going to protect you and be with you no matter what you face in life. We have the wrong focus many times in our life. We're fearful of terrorism. We're fearful of financial collapse. We're fearful of death. We're fearful of the world as we know it. And it's a very volatile world as of late, is it not? It's very volatile. And yet we miss how significant we are to a loving Heavenly Father who yearns so much to be in a relationship with us that he sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, to come to walk as a man, and yet he was fully God, so that he would lay down his life for you and for me, and he would give up his life and sacrifice it so that he would become sin, so that your sins could be forgiven, and that he would take the unrighteousness from you and we would receive the righteousness that he was and is. And that, my friends, is significance. That, my friends, is purpose. It's meaning. It is the esteeming of you and me to a level that I don't know that we wrap our minds around. Now, if someone is going to make that type of investment, they're going to protect it. And God's going to protect you because the death of his son meant something to him. It cost him everything. And if you were to pay something that cost you everything, would you not protect that investment? And that's the protection of God. And when he gave his son and that investment into your life, your heart, and your soul, he wants you to know that you are significant. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand, before the creation of the world." And you are God's workmanship. You are significant, friends, and so significant that God loves you so much that he will protect you. And that's why Jesus says, do not fear the ones who can only affect our physical bodies, but fear God and have a healthy, reverent fear. Have that fear of God, for he has the power. He is all powerful. He is almighty. And we should run into him as a mighty fortress, as a strong tower. And that should be our strong response to what we encounter in life. So we have the significance of the pronouncement of truth. We have the significance of the protection of God. And then we get to the third aspect. It's the significance of God's provision. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. And here's the other bookend. Jesus started with do not fear, and he ends with do not fear. And everything in the middle is he's saying do not fear. Do not fear of being insignificant. Understand that you are significant. You're the carriers of the pronouncement of God's gospel truth. You are so significant that he will protect you. And you are so significant that he will provide for you. He will be your provision if we allow him. Do not fear, therefore. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Now, back in Jesus' day, a sparrow was, you know, literally like a penny. It was a portion of one denarius, which was, denarius was a day's wage. And common people would often use sparrows as food, or they would use them for hors d'oeuvres, or, you know, preparing for the actual main course. And so they were viewed in that way, and they were viewed as very, you know, things that weren't of much value. And so what Jesus is saying is he's saying the hairs on your head, they are all numbered, and he will provide. He will bless you and me with the provisions that we need because you and I, we are more valuable than a little sparrow that isn't worth much. If God is going to number the hairs on your head, don't you think he's going to number what the big elements in our life is and what those big elements are? It's his provision, friends, because you and I are significant to him. We are significant, and I want you to know that the fear that we sometimes have, it needs to just go away, and we need to remember that you are the carriers of the truth of the gospel, and where you go, how you interact, what you say, it all means something to God, and God will protect you in that. If God leads you to it, he will lead you through it. He will protect your soul, and he will see to it that your soul is with him in all of eternity. Don't worry about this earth. It'll all pass away. Worry about what is most important. And that is, my friends, understanding your significance in Christ, your significance to God the Father, and then allow him to provide for you in his provisions of what he has for you. Friends, you are significant. I cannot stress that enough. You are so significant. You are so precious to God the Father. You matter to him. The scriptures say you are the apple of his eye. We could look at Zechariah, and it says that when he thinks of you, he dances around and he thinks of you and he just rejoices over and over again. I would love to get that into your heart and soul. You matter, friends. You matter to me, but more importantly, you matter to God. You matter to Jesus. You matter to the Holy Spirit. You are significant to the living God, the living Lord. Please, let that sink in. Let us pray. Father God, we bless you now. We thank you, Jesus, for allowing us to understand that we are significant to you. We need to remove all of those things that just crowd our life and make us feel like we are insignificant. But Father, may we rebuke those lies, because we're so significant that you sent Jesus, your Son, our Savior, our Lord, our coming King, to lay down his life. And we bless you for that. We praise you for that. May this word of significance seek our soul, and may it just settle deep down in our very being to allow us to rest and to apprehend the value that you have in us, the value that you see in us, even when we don't see that value in ourselves. May we know that you have called us valuable. You have called us the apple of your eye. You have called us worthy. You have called us precious. You have called us child. You have called us into your family. And so, Father, we thank you. We bless you now, and we praise you for truly, truly making us significant. In a world there are sometimes we feel so insignificant, we wonder what meaning there is in life. And so, Father, we praise you for this word. We thank you for your grace, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your love. We bless you in the holy name of Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. As we close this time of praise and worship here this morning, if you would please stand and turn to hymn 526 as we sing Victory in Jesus. Friends, Jesus sought you, and he bought you with his redeeming blood. May you know the significance that you have in Christ Jesus. And may the significance that he sees you as, may it fill your soul, and may his love saturate your being. And may you truly understand that you are precious, you are valuable, you are worthy, you are so valuable to God the Father that he says, you, my friends, are significant. May the love of the Father, may the love of the Son, may the love of the Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. And may it teach you and me the significance that we are in the eye of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may his peace go with you now. Amen.